I can't hear.
Have I been on mute? I hope I've not been on mute this whole time. Okay, good. I just did it. Okay, good. Perfect. So our guest today is Heather Fitzke, and her family is living this in real time. They're experiencing this. I've known Heather, and I know some people would say, Heather, listen, if the court is willing to take your child from you, you must have done something. So I want to back up for a moment, and I want you to tell us a little bit about you. You've got, I think you guys have 5 children. Is that correct? You still can't hear? It's not on my end. Go ahead and talk. We can hear you. Can you hear me? Okay? Hang on just a second, guys. I'm going to just make sure she's not muted or anything. Everything's good. Everybody can hear, right? Everybody's good? Yep, everybody's good. Something must have checked out with her speaker for a minute. All right, hang on just a sec. We're going to get her right back on. Just 1 second, okay? 1 second. Everybody hang tight, because this is not, we did do a sound check and everything was great. So hang on just a sec. I don't know what happened. 1 sec. Let me just check. We're going to pause for 1 second. Actually, while we're pausing, go ahead and hit the share button. Share this out. Everybody's going to need to hear the testimony of Heather and Brent. They're going to need to hear this testimony. Hit the share button. Hey, Heather, we're going to have you go ahead and log out and come back in. Yeah, go ahead and leave and then come back in. Okay, we'll get her in here. Sometimes you know how it goes. Things get a little bit glitchy. It can be funny like that. Okay, so everybody hit that share right now. Hit the share, and then we're gonna bring her right back in. So 1312, HB 1312, we've had Erin Lee on here a lot. She's talked about, there we go. She'll come back in. She's talked about the impact, and they've taken this all the way to the Supreme Court. But what we have right now, we have an activist judge. I'm going to share a little bit of this while we're waiting for them to come on. We have an activist judge out of Colorado that was appointed by Governor Polis. And I want to demonstrate, we know for a fact that this person was appointed by Governor Polis. We're going to talk about that in just a second here. And this judge is the one who, we don't have the transcripts yet, but I'm very much looking forward to reading them. This judge had said repeatedly that typically it would not be a common practice to remove a child from a home like Heather Fitzke's and her husband, Brent. They wouldn't have done that, but they were going to do it anyway. Apparently they went through a whole litany. She's going to be giving testimony on that, but I want you guys to see this. It is for certain that Elise Meyer, who is appointed to the 9th Judicial District, was in fact appointed by Governor Polis. And I'm going to show you how we know this. I don't want to just tell you something and you not be able to see it. This is the judge that made the decision in the Fitzke case just this past week, that showed that they are in fact, this is a Polis appointee. And again, the thing that I'm looking at is he's appointing radicals to these conservative areas so that we can't do anything about it. So take a look at this. This is actually from Patty Trinidad, who apparently is a relative of Elise Meyer. And she congratulates Elise as the daughter of Cuban immigrants to a judge. Congratulations, my dear cousin, Elise Meyer. Your family is so incredibly proud. Carrying the Rodriguez font torch all the way to the top. Love you and so proud. Governor Jared Polis puts out a statement saying, Governor Polis has appointed Elise V. Meyer to fill a vacancy on the 9th Judicial District Court. The vacancy was created by the retirement of the Honorable James Berkeley Boyd and is effective July 1 of 23. Now, here's an interesting thing about Judge Boyd. There, obviously, 9th Judicial District, there was a lot of things going on in the 9th Judicial District. And so it's very upsetting and very unfortunate that he allowed himself to be removed and retire early rather than face the music. And I think the music was coming for him. And instead, this new person who is a radical, who is an activist, who is a lesbian activist, by the way, she is a lesbian. Good power, more power to her if she would like govern, you know, if she judged rightly, who cares? But the fact is, They're appointing activists, people that Jared Polis can count on to advance his agenda. So with us now, we're going to give it a shot again, see how we can we do we have the sound on, guys? We
Yes, I
good?
can hear you now.
All right, awesome. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for sharing your story today. I am extremely sorry. I mean, we've talked and I've spent a lot of time reading over everything that you've sent and just scratching my head how this can actually possibly be happening in America, in the state of Colorado, and especially to your family, as people that I know and know you are great parents, loving parents, wonderful community members, by the way. And I just can't believe this has happened to you guys. I am so sorry. And I'm hoping that today will be the start of the community understanding what's really at play, not just for your family, but for everybody else, because there's no reason that this should have happened to you guys. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
I want to just kind of go back for just a minute. Tell us a little bit about your family dynamics, and what has led in the last year to your daughter, who's only 17 years old, being awarded custody to a complete and total stranger.
Family dynamics. We're a mom and dad of six children. Our oldest being Tabitha, our youngest being our 3-year-old Dorothy. They all go to school here, do sports. We're just a regular family. For my daughter Tabitha, she has a history of some trauma when it comes to her biological father. So we've had some
Battle.
mental health battles, I suppose, for a couple of years leading to this. But back in 2022, my daughter is going to Rifle Middle School. And the first time she came to me talking about, trans people and things like that, and questioning, we go to church. We're Christian. We educate our children on right and wrong and man and woman. But back in, she had a teacher, a substitute teacher at Rifle Middle School that was very vocal about, being mixed. I don't remember, just these pronouns, and being just very upfront with the lifestyle this teacher was having. I did call into the school. I made a complaint. My daughter was questioning me about these things, so I think it sparked her curiosity. So I think after that, she might have dived into social media and just sort of was getting influenced by people online. But in 2023, she met a boy, and I did not know at the time that this boy was trans until maybe almost a year into their relationship, when she was finally going to go to prom with him and he was dressing up like a girl. And that was a big shocker to my husband and I. And it was like that night, we saw that this was happening. And before that, she wasn't being very open with us about what's going on with this. We saw that, and it was kind of shocking. And we didn't want her to go, but we're on such a delicate balance with her, because she would claim, she's very fragile mentally, always wanting to kind of throw the suicide thing in her face. We kind of treaded lightly with her and tried it. We were in therapy and everything.
I would just, Heather, I don't want to interrupt you, but that is a very common thing. It's a very common statement. They're fed that. What do they tell you? What do they say to parents? Would you rather have, a dead daughter or a living son? They constantly throw the suicide bomb, and it's there's two things that are popping out. I hope people are really listening. Number one, your daughter had a brief introduction into trans ideology. Very brief. And that has been a common story. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take much. I think this is, and I'm curious what you guys think about the spiritual component of all of this over your child, and especially how quickly it seems to me that these groomers can identify children who are more vulnerable and really target them and go after them, and in a very, very short amount of time, have them convinced that they're literally in the wrong body. So we have. You guys are caught off guard. This boy shows up dressed as a girl. He's going to go to prom with your daughter. And then what happens?
We confronted her, but we let her go. After that, we did go. We were having discussions. She wasn't in our face that, hey, I am trans. I found out she was upset with us, and she's like, just accept my friends for who they are. That's kind of where that led off, because she was kind of in this big group of kids that were doing these things. So what I didn't know at this time is she was also, there was a Rifle High School teacher who has a little club that my daughter was going to, and just getting more and more surrounded by these people and the ideology, and secretly being affirmed and I guess social transitioning. But she wasn't upfront necessarily with us. It was more of a accept my friends. So fast
Heather,
forward a little bit.
well,
Go
Heather
ahead.
and Brent, were you guys noticing any changes in her appearance? Was there anything that you could look to and say she's acting really, different? Or was she already kind of, artsy and kind of a outside of the box kind of kid?
She's a band kid, choir kid, theater kid. So she already has been artsy and out of the box. But I would say
Close. Very
getting
strange.
very, very closer to it, she did get dramatic and like cutting her hair super short, which was at the end of 2023-ish, close to the beginning of 2024. She, it's getting shorter and shorter. But she was still wearing, she's wearing a dress. She's wearing dresses. She's, we're gonna experiment with our looks sometimes. She's wanting to dye her head red, but yeah, not until like very, very before that she just like, okay, taking all my hair off and I'm binding myself and things like that. And that was in late 2024.
And
So
how old is she? How old is she at this point?
she was 15 going on 16. So from like the end of 15 into 16 through this 17 year. So
And this last year, this has been her 17th year. So you find out that she is being transitioned at school, and people listen. I mean, we're talking about this contagion, this trans contagion. They all get into a group. They all start encouraging each other, of course, always with the support of an adult. There's always the Gay Straight Alliance Club or PFLAG. We're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit about that and the role that this man who does woman face named Ashley Stahl. And by the way, this man had a child, had a baby with a woman a year and a half ago. So I mean, this is a man, and he tries to say he's a woman. I've seen him in person. He's not passing. Okay, I'm just saying he's not passing. It's not working for him. But what he is doing is he's using the trans ideology movement, and in Colorado, for those who maybe can't understand this just yet, because you live in a free state where you get to have an opinion, you don't have to worry about your kids being taken from you for having a different opinion. He has wielded this very interesting power over people where they are silenced by his presence. If he stands up and speaks, everybody else just acquiesces to him because they are afraid of the trans mafia, and rightly so. I mean, your guys's story. I really want to get into exactly what happened this past year. Your story is exactly why people are afraid. And Heather, I want to just preface this before we get into what exactly happened with your daughter that led to the court deciding to remove her from your custody. You guys, people are saying you should just sit down, you should just back off, you should just be quiet, let God have his way. I mean, all these things, which, by the way, that is such a horrible use of God's character and what he would will for us to do as parents. I just want to say that. I know people have good hearts about it. I don't think they're trying to be awful. It is the absolute worst thing you can say, because when this is all over and Tabitha comes back around, comes to her senses, she is going to need to see that her parents fought for her every step of the way. And no matter what consequences there may be, the threats that come with what you guys are doing right now, exposing PFLAG, exposing this other organization, exposing the individuals we're going to talk about today who have funded this effort to steal your child and are probably, based off the pictures on these organizations, they're trying to steal other people's children too. And I'm going to show some of these. They're posted publicly. So, parents, if you're in the I-70 corridor, anywhere from Carbondale, Aspen, all the way down to RE16, fucking parachute. You better look at these pictures and see if you see your children at these clubs, because they're up to no good. So she comes out to you guys finally and tells you that she's trans. What happens next?
Well, this actually happened in a therapy session with us, where she kind of just asked the therapist, hey, give me a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Disappointed that the therapist that she'd been seeing for quite a few years was like, okay, yep, you're gender dysphoric. And so then Tabby kind of used that, was starting to use that against me. At that time, she wasn't demanding me to call her Zach or anything like that, but we were having discussions. She became super hyper-focused on wanting to be a boy. And I asked her if she could focus on school. She was failing in all her school. She's a super smart kid, so she went from straight A's to just bombing because she was getting bullied, or, you know, she's having a hard time in school. And she was begging and begging me to enroll her into Yampa High School, which I did not want her to go there because she's smarter than that. And I knew it would put her around even more people, but then she was threatening, because at 17, she could drop out of school. So she was threatening to drop out of school, and I didn't want her to just drop out and not have a plan or graduate high school. So I did agree to enroll her into Yampa with hopes that, okay, maybe we'll continue therapy and we'll work through this. But I was asking her to focus on, we were having conversations that she wants to hyper-focus being a boy, and I'm asking her, how are you going to finance your lifestyle choice then? You need to get through school, find a career, and pay for this. So right now your focus should be getting through school, graduating high school, and getting a good career. And then you're more of an adult and you're going to make decisions, but how are you going to be successful in this and pay for it? And you, this isn't all of life. You know, you got to get your focus off of this. We were trying, we were having a lot of arguments. She was making home life very, very difficult because we were limiting her access to certain friends. She kept running away, taking off, hanging out with these people. Adults were coming in and just kind of like shielding her from, well, I don't know where your kid is. This was before she left home. I'm kind of rambling, but where am I?
You know what? No, you're not, actually. You're saying the things that parents are going to start looking for and trying to pay attention. What I'm hearing from you, just to be clear, like, you didn't go into straight thinking this is going to end really badly. You're thinking she's going through a phase. I appreciate what you're saying. I want you to just continue just to share with us, because that's what parents are thinking. This is just a phase. It's going to pass. I actually really appreciate that you were like, how are you going to pay for this? You actually got to get through school. So if you really want to do this, you're going to have to fund it. You know, I'm not paying for it. And the state doesn't, well, actually Colorado does pay for it, apparently, we've learned. But typically you would have to fund all of this stuff on your own that you want to do. So you're not thinking this is serious, like long-term for real. You're thinking she's going through a phase. It's going to be fine. We're going to get through it. And I want to point out too, some of the gaslighting that has happened to parents in Colorado, like taking your children's phone has become abusive. Yeah, the kid doesn't pay for the phone. Okay. The normal parental practices are being called abuse in the state of Colorado if they're directed at a child that is saying they are transgender or LGBTQ of any kind. Otherwise, every other kid, it's just normal parent, you know, discipline is fine. But if you're doing it to a trans kid, you are abusive, and you are limiting, and you are isolating, and you are preventing her from being who she wants to be. Like, it is absolutely insane, you guys. And it's exactly what's happening and what happened with you guys. So you're doing the normal parent stuff. You're grounding her, taking her phone. You're being mindful. Brent, what are you thinking as dad? You're her stepfather. You're watching all of this happen. What are you thinking as a man, you know, seeing this and listening to the adults try to keep, you know, this Tabitha from her mother, covering for her, not telling her where Tabitha is, I mean, what were you thinking?
Trying to discipline a kid as they run away is not the easiest thing. Discipline comes this one ain't easy when we're in the situation we're in right now. Us specifically, we have a we have another biological father involved. So for us to actually give Tabitha the proper
therapy,
whatever, we had to get agreement from the biological father for us to do anything. We never were able to, so we couldn't.
I want to elaborate on that, actually. So in when Tabitha requested that diagnosis from her therapist, I immediately did some research and found a therapeutic boarding school. We set it up. She was about to be enrolled. Like, I had all the enrollment set up and a plan. And I wanted to put her in there because I saw this exploding. But I have a parenting order with the biological father who has not been in touch with my daughter for maybe 2 years prior during this entire time. I have updated him on the thing, but that's a whole different story. He's not supportive. We don't get along. So when I was explaining to him that this is happening, I want to put her in here because Ripa High School is not okay for her. I don't want to put her in Yampa. I would like to put her in a therapeutic boarding school to remove her from the influence here. But he said I couldn't. So
we think the Ripa High School was good.
You know, he emailed me saying Ripa High School is perfectly equipped to handle this. You need to be a better parent. You need to, you know, do everything like I wasn't, you know. So I was blocked there. I could not. Like, as soon as I got that from her, I did want to put her in therapeutic boarding school, but I couldn't. Yeah. The biological father would not let me.
And that's a whole nother facet, right? That's a whole nother, a whole nother issue when it's coming to how these people are being able to break up the family, wiggle their way in, use parental alienation or alienate parents, or, you know, maybe that's not the best relationship. And then they further get in there, are able to really get that child to come on board with their trans plan. So, okay. So we have these options, but ultimately, and just for people who may not know, Yampa is an alternative school in Colorado on the Western Slope outside of Aspen. And actually, a lot of kids who don't want to do the traditional school route end up going there. But you are correct. I mean, I've known quite a few kids from there. And it's not necessarily, you know, if you're already struggling, it's not necessarily going to be a really elevating crowd. It's just not. And apparently, they have some serious groomers that are now working as, quote, educators in that school. And further, they further take Tabitha down this path to the trans ideology. When did she, what happens that she leaves your home? And what happens leading up to the court proceedings that just happened this past week? Walk us through, how were they able to take your child? So she's running away repeatedly, which actually she can't do. It's against the law, but nobody's helping you find her. Eventually she leaves the home completely. What happens then?
When she left the home completely, it was a little bit of a, you know, she was making our home very, very, very toxic, doing all these crazy things and constantly leaving, fighting with us. We're trying to parent her. It's a lot of fighting.
There's other kids here.
You know, I have five other kids that she's making our home extreme chaos. So in the beginning of December, she's sitting at the kitchen table just having a complete meltdown, and just begging me to leave the house. Begging me to live anywhere but here because she just wants to die. So I did make the decision to say, okay, you know what? That you want to live with these three friends. So there were three friends here in Rifle that I know she was already kind of going to and staying the night anyway, not people I'm very familiar with or agree with, but still she'd be local and in Rifle. Okay, there's a fly. And I told her she could stay with these three friends, make sure she's going to school, and we'd be in touch and try to get into some therapy and keep this relationship. Let's work through this. At the time, I had the enrollment going for Yampa. Where that was left off is we're waiting for her approval. So she wasn't approved to go there yet, but that was on hold. So in the beginning of December, And I also even particularly told her, you can't leave this house and just start playing victim like I kicked you out or anything. I'm trying to work with you. The reason why I said that is because this crowd loves to play, victim, victim. You say one wrong thing and they're a victim and they're gaslighting you and you're a horrible person. And she agreed to all that, and I kicking myself in the butt for not recording that with her or even having a contract. But she left in December. I gave her a moment to cool off. But then,
All the communication started becoming all through other people.
well, she communicated. She communicated me with me in the beginning of January, saying, I was like, how are you? Oh, my only communication through her was through this boyfriend of hers too. She happened to not have a phone. Not because we took it, she lost it. She kept
Do you
losing
mind
her phone.
if I show do you mind if I show some of those text messages? Because again, the point here is she leaves the
Oh,
house.
God.
She's with three friends. Again, the goal is to try to get her to finish school. But I start noticing as I'm looking at the evidence that you're bringing forward, they are alienating her. She doesn't have a phone. She's no longer allowed to have direct contact with you. There she's it's very strange. This boyfriend Max, who is, I don't know if that's a male or female, I have no idea. I actually looked it up. I looked up the mother and I looked him up. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. But he's the one that she's allowed to communicate to you through. Are we allowed to show those text messages? I thought there was two that really demonstrate the timeline. That's up to you. I have them ready if you're
You
okay with
can.
that. I think people should
You
see,
can.
like,
Because she was referring to herself as Tabby in November of 2024. She was communicating with me just fine in January 2025. And he was referring to himself as Max. She was referring to, and he was saying she, all these pronouns and stuff was still there in that communication. And he goes by Aurora, I guess. And yeah.
Oh, well, someone should tell his mom that because she's still calling him Max. So
Not in
at my
court. Not in court, I guess, but
oh. So you're trying to track, just to give a little backstory to what you're seeing on the screen right now, guys. The previous text, she's asking about the welfare of Tabby. She hasn't heard from her, doesn't know what's going on with her. It's been a minute. Nobody's responding. Nobody is saying anything. And so you say, I'm going to contact the police and issue a welfare check. Finally, this boy responds and he says, I had two finals yesterday in work. All right. Tabby's fine. She's been going to school at Yampa, and soon as I have enough money, I'm going to buy her a phone, is what he says. We can go to the next one. He says, I'm going to buy her a phone, but I want people to see this. Like, this is your child. Who is this kid? Who is this kid thinking he gets to speak for your child to you about your child? Like, you guys, this is what they do. They alienate. It's a cult. If you want to know what a cult is, this is a cult. This boy says to the this to, you know the boy who thinks he's a girl, Aura, whatever, he is telling you how your daughter is, but not letting your daughter talk directly to you. They are isolating her just like cults do. She's fine. I'm gonna buy her a phone eventually. She just wants to pick up her paycheck. She's just up Valley for now. He's telling you about your own child. I'm just gonna tell you right now. There are. You have demonstrated through this whole thing, and I've read all the text messages, I've seen it all. And I am amazed because there's a measure of grace that's been extended to you guys through the course of this that I would not have been given. And it's shocking to me that people like this Max and his mother have perpetuated they stole your daughter. And then they isolated her and prevented her from talking to you. And we could say all day long, well, she's a 17-year-old girl. She's a very impressionable 17-year-old girl who's been confused about who she is since she's 14 years old. Her first exposure of 15 years old when she, hears about trans ideology for the first time. These teenagers have all the same problems that we all had growing up, but now they have this, they don't just have cigarettes and go smoke pot somewhere. Oh, no. Now they have, well, you must be trans. You got to cut your body part off. Let's get you some testy. Like, this is insane. And for this person to be able to do this, for this mother and her son to be able to keep this child from you, is just unbelievable. But there is that element you're talking about where, well, she's 17, and I get that too. Almost a grown up, adding so much chaos to the house. So all those, we're going to hold two truths at one time, that probably there was a lot less chaos when she left, but she's still your daughter. And this whole effort that is finally going to culminate in what happened this last week is alienation, while they tell her a story about you guys. They tell her a story about how you don't love her, how you don't care about her. We'll see it in the transcripts, but I want to introduce everybody right now to the man, the woman face man, Ashley Stahl. I want everybody to know who this person is. This is a man. Again, he fathered a child a year and a half ago. Okay. Things are still working. He's clearly not taking enough estrogen. Okay. He's a man parading his woman face, running an organization called PFLAG that is targeting children in the schools from Parachute, Colorado, that I know of, but he's probably working with Mesa County as well, all the way up to the Aspen School District. And I want to introduce you guys because this is a person who has had a lot of influence on your family, unbeknownst to you. You didn't even know any of these people. And yet they're having a massive, massive impact on your child. So I want to share this with you guys. Let me make sure we've got the music or the I want to make sure I do the right one. I hope it's this one. Let's just everybody take a listen to Ashley Stahl. I wish that I knew what his male name is, but I don't remember right at the moment. I did know it at one time, but you know, sometimes you just try to put these deviants out of your mind. Take a listen.
Hi, Cook Inclusive Family. My name is Ashley Stahl. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the Roaring Fork director for Cook Inclusive. And I'm making this video today because I want to acknowledge and recognize Transgender Day of Remembrance. I am a transgender woman, and I've been working with this community for a few years now, and this is something that means a lot to me. And when I was thinking this morning about how I wanted to acknowledge and recognize this day, I came across a beautiful article written by Erin Reed and Zoe Zephyr, sort of like a trans power couple. Zoe Zephyr is a representative in Montana, and Erin Reed is sort of the preeminent trans journalist. And they wrote this article for Transgender Day of Remembrance, and I just wanted to share it with all of you today.
Okay, I'm not going to subject you all to any more of this because this is complete and utter nonsense. But that is Ashley Stahl. That is the man who is very aggressively, proactively inserting trans ideology into your public schools, helping to get candidates elected, removing, you know, protective parental school board members off the boards like Tony May. We experienced that from our district, RE2 school district. This person. This man pretending to be a woman, he's not a woman, he's a man, is aggressively going after your children. And the organization that he mentioned is an organization being funded by, I don't know who. I don't know who's funding it. Do you guys have any thoughts on where the money is coming from that allowed your child to be gone from you for, you know, almost a year now and then be able to pay for the court proceedings and filings that ended up resulting in guardianship of your child being given to a complete and total stranger. Do we know anything about that?
From what I'm gathering, it's Polis money. It's somebody in Carbondale funding Ashley Foundation. They send in a lot of money. I don't know who that person is, but there is a source
Oh,
somewhere.
I do. I know who she is. I'd like to show her face. I'd like for everybody in Aspen, I'm going to take you guys off for a minute so your face is not on here with this. I because I'll get sued instead of you. But then I'm going to just have you hold on for just one sec. I want to show you all who this person is that is helping to fund out of Carbondale. This is an architect in Carbondale that is building multi-million dollar homes. I guess they just don't have anything else better to do than to aggressively go after other people's children and support and fund the removal of those children from their families. This is who she is. Take a look at this face. Take a look at this face. This is who we're talking about. And she is a contractor. Hang on just a second. Hang on just a second. Okay. Stacy Adler. This is Stacey Adler, who instead of going after other people's children, should probably just focus on designing these multi-million dollar homes that make her so much money that she's able to fund PFLAG and this other group that Ashley Stahl is running and fund the court proceedings to take other people's children. Yeah, Stacey Adler should find something else to do if this is literally how much time she has to go and take other people's children. I don't know what she does, for real. Maybe that's a front company. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a front company, and allegedly. You know, I'm going to say allegedly about everything with Stacey Adler, but what we do know is she is heavily involved in this whole trans movement up and down the valley. And yes, I do believe she is a huge funder, and it's prove me wrong. Show me that you're not. I think she's a huge funder who's facilitating the finances for these organizations and the fundraising for these organizations to take other people's children away from them. Stacey Adler is her name, and she's out of the Carbondale area, an architect. You can find her on social media platforms, and maybe you all can ask her why she's using all this money that she makes designing homes to take other people's children. I would like to know. I think it's an important question. Allegedly. Stacey, allegedly. Prove that you're not. Okay, so she's a big funder. Sorry, you guys missed that part. You don't know who I said, but I said it and I stand by it. But also we have another person that has signed off and actually brought the complaint to the judge. I'm going to put up the actual document from the court of another person who was involved in the removal of your child and signed off on the guardianship petition for your child. And who the heck is this person? Hang on just a sec while it comes up. This is, let's see if we can make it a little bigger. I don't know if it's going to let me. Oh, hang on. Let's add it back in. Well, I don't know if it's going to let us expand it. Darn. It's very small on my screen here, but let's look and see. We can just read it for you guys so you can see what it says. This image has the name of. Hang on just a second. Do you have that document on hand?
No, see if I can pull it up
here. That's okay. I can pull it up here. Let me pull it out of here and I'm going to just read it for you guys so you can hear who this name is. Again, you have all these people that we don't know who they are, and they've been played a horrible role in working to facilitate the removal of a child from their family. And for those who are like, well, she's 17, she's on her way out. That's also to me what's odd about this. Don't you think? She's a few months away from being 18 years old. Okay. And yet they feel that it was perfectly reasonable. I want to read the name on this who brought the petition forward. It was perfectly reasonable to do this now, to remove your parental rights. Can you explain exactly what happened with that? And the document, by the way. The proceedings were brought forward in the matter of your child, and it is signed off on, of course, by the document states this: on August 20th, 2025, the court held a hearing to determine the appropriateness of the emergency guardianship appointment issued on August 14th, 2025. The petitioner was someone named Aaron Anderson. They were present in person with respondent, the minor child. The court will, from here on out, only refer to the minor child as Zach, his chosen name. Respondent, you, the mother, Heather Fitzke, was present in person with her counsel. The court heard the sworn testimony of, is this some Mr. Anderson? I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, they put an X instead of an R.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it. Okay. It's another strange trans stuff they do. Holly Guerin, who is the mother of Max, the one who initiated all of this with your daughter. Katie Curry, boy, that's a crazy name to have. Stacey Adler, Zach, and Miss Fitzke. So these other people, this MX Anderson, Holly Guerin, Katie Curry, Stacey Adler, and this, are they friends of yours? Are any of those people, do you know any of those people who brought this petition forward? Any of them?
Nope. The first time I actually met any of these people was through a school board meeting on February 26th that I spoke at.
Well, you know, the judge, Elise Victoria Meyer, is so concerned. The court found, based on the evidence presented, that MX Anderson, Aaron Anderson, showed by clear and convincing evidence that the emergency guardianship is appropriate and that Zach is at risk of harm should the emergency guardianship not continue. You guys, your child had not even been living at your house. So exactly. What was the emergency? What was the emergency?
They threw a lot of stuff in the court, just accusations. I didn't provide her basic medical help. I don't vaccinate her. I can't wait to get the transcript. It was a lot of just talking.
Well, here's what is critical for people to hear. This is the authority that's been given by the state of Colorado by activist lesbian judge Elise Victoria Meyer, who sided on the wrong side of this lady. I mean, just the absolute wrong side. This is the authority that's been granted to this MX Anderson, because you know, you can't call him Mr. So Aaron Anderson, or she, I don't even know. I don't know what we're dealing with. I don't know if this is a he or she. I have no idea. MX Anderson now has, this is according to the court document, has the power and duty to perform any and all acts necessary for the day-to-day care, custody, education, recreation, and property of Zach, and to authorize any and, listen to this, you guys, to authorize any and all medical, dental, mental health care, and treatment for Zach with his consent. Although not yet 18 years of age, Zach is very mature and is capable of being his own privilege holder for mental health and medical, including dental purposes. That's funny. That's not really what they mean. They don't give two cares about dental. You all know, read between the lines, what this is really about. While MX Aaron Anderson now has the ability to authorize care for Zach, they cannot do so without Zach's consent, so long as he is able to give his consent. The guardianship expires on October 13th, 2025. The court wishes Zach the best. This is what's happening in Colorado. Your child can be given to a complete and total stranger if you choose not to affirm, because now we have activist judges in place to make sure that your children are taken from you. Can you think of any reason why this emergency guardianship, the child wasn't living with you. You're staying on somewhat amicable terms, very lightly. I know it's stressful, but it's like, there's some, you know, amicableness going on here. You care about your daughter. It's going terrible, but it's going okay. But they issue this emergency order to pull her from you. It only lasts till October 13th. Can you think of any reason why they would do that?
I know why. My child's been out of the house. I explained that part. I haven't been able to get in touch with her. So I said, I'm going to contact authorities. She's going to be a runaway because I want to speak to my own child. Everybody can tell me she's okay. The school wasn't allowing me to talk to her. They were just like, oh, she's fine. She's just going to school. The boyfriend stopped communicating, et cetera. So I issued, she's a runaway. Look for my child, find her. And I did that at the end of the school year. And the whole summer goes by, and that's a whole other story, trying to deal with authorities not really caring much. I had been in contact with my attorney since I reported her. So they've been watching and following and trying to help me legally find my daughter, because I could track her, I could see, but I didn't want to do something I would regret. As a mother, I wanted to get my kid. So I needed to make sure I had some self-control. So that's why I needed police to step in and do this. Long story short, senior year at YAPA is coming up right now. She's a runaway status. I've been harassing her teachers and her work and everything, trying to find her. Stacey Adler, Holly, her work are all harboring my daughter as a runaway status at this point. I only get this knowledge because Tabby changed her address at work. So here's the person. This is where she's staying. But anyway, she's trying to get into senior year school. The new principal at YAPA, she went and contacted them on August 8th. I was at a birthday party up on top of the mountain with my kids. And because the detective on her case called me and said, the principal of Yampa just informed me that your daughter was in contact with them asking to go to school for senior year. And he informed your daughter that we will welcome you after you get this situation, your runaway status and law enforcement fixed. Then you could come, right? So that was February 8th, and I was served the next Thursday.
Incredible.
Friday. I was served 1 week later. I'm served with this emergency guardianship because they want my kid to go to school and keep me out of the picture still.
Not family reconciliation.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, not reconciliation with your family.
There's absolutely no family reconciliation.
There's no bond in this court case at all.
So. Incredible. And so there's no pathway forward for you guys with your own daughter at this point, is there?
No.
This is what I want people to understand. If they decide, if the lunatics who are supposed to be educating, but they're not, they're grooming your children in the public school system, who've been protected by things like non-legal name change bills, who've been protected by not having to give their back work history if they're choosing to be transgender in your public education system, or if you just have activists who have a lot of money and they just decided that they're going to take on the trans kids and they're going to help them and they're living in abusive Christian homes. If they decide that and they decide to make your child the target, again, this was the third person last week who called and said, I've just lost my child. This is happening in Warp Speed in Colorado. I know people are afraid. I know they're afraid of retaliation. Do you guys fear retaliation? You have 5 other children. Do you fear retaliation?
No. I'm sure there's a target on our back. I'm sure maybe they'll try something, but come at me. You know, it's wrong. It's wrong. And I'm not going to go bury my head in the sand. I will protect my other children. I'm very aware now. I wasn't as aware until this, but now I am.
I mean, that's what it takes, right? It happens to us. And then we're like, I cannot believe this is real. And so many people know you, Heather and Brent, and know what kind of people you are. They know your character. They know the quality of humans you are. That this is just impossible to imagine, that a judge would rule that there was actual abuse. Now, this was a 2-hour and 45-minute proceeding. How long did you get to speak, Heather, about your own child?
10-15 minutes.
Tell me that this judge is not an activist, a total activist planted by Jared Polis in Garfield County to set the precedent that any child can become a ward of the trans cult. Tell me. We're going to continue on with this, you guys. We're going to continue talking about this. We're going to continue pointing it out. We're going to continue calling out Ashley Stahl and the fake P flag grooming program. We're going to continue talking about their bizarre, what's that other organization they have? What's it called? There's P flag and then that other one that was new to me. The Cook Inclusive. Now, is that Tom Cook? Is it Tim Cook's organization? He is the one who's responsible for flipping Colorado. So I'm just curious if he's a part of that organization. Do we know?
No.
That's interesting. I will do some research on that. But you guys, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today and sharing your story. I am so sorry what has happened to you and your family. You do not deserve this. You did not do anything wrong. And this judge, what I would personally ask, I'm going to do a call to action after I let you all go. There is something for the community to do. There is something that we can do to stand up to activist judges who are, again, the bill itself is so vague that the judge could rule any way that they want to. I mean, they really can. And that's by design. But when the people step up and say, we're not going to tolerate this, and they put out notices to the judge letting them know, we can do that as a community. Legally, lawfully, it is our right to do that. And we're going to push for that for you guys and for those others who are losing their children right now all across the state of Colorado. Many are afraid. They're not going to come out public. They are very worried about retaliation. They're very afraid of CPS. They're afraid of more of their children being targeted. I mean, it's unthinkable what has happened to you guys. It's unthinkable that a child could just make up stories and be groomed by a group of adults who would actually fund all of this. And then go before a court and the mother only gets to give a 10-15 minute defense. I mean, the ramifications for your family, like, I would be suing every person listed on there for defamation, because that's what they did. They defamed you both, saying you were horrible parents, you were abusive, you did all of these things. They need to prove that those things happened. That might be something that we talk about. I do want to tell you that we are referring you to Pacific Justice also, who is working on these cases across the country. We may not be able to bring Tabitha back home in the next 2 months, but you know what? Other parents are not going to live in fear of the trans cult permeating their schools and going after their children and stealing their kids using the law to do it. I appreciate you guys so much, Heather and Brent. Thank you so much, Fitzky, for being with us, and God bless you and your children and keep you safe.
Thank you.
You know what? This is a nightmare like no other. This is a nightmare. And to those, again, who are saying, well, there must have been something. I read everything. There was nothing. There was a young girl who was groomed by a trans cult through her boyfriend, introduced to these disgusting grooming adults who have nothing better to do with their time or their resources but go after other people's children. That's what happened here. And the Fitzkys are the latest victims of the trans cult of Colorado, propagated by the Democrat Party, the supermajority, who has passed these laws to enable predators to get real up close and comfortable and cozy with your children under the guise of education or mental health. We love that one, don't we? Mental health. Trans your child through mental health. Rather have a dead, a living daughter than a dead son. You know that line? These people are disgusting. They are completely morally bankrupt. Completely. And they have given themselves over. They do not deserve our sympathy or our empathy. However, the families that are experiencing the fallout from this extraordinarily horrible anti-parent, anti-family, anti-Christian policies propagated by one governor, Jared Polis, who had to sign all of those into law. He signed them all into law. He believes in it. He knows what he's doing. We are asking, number one, that Linda McMahon, again, recommend pulling all federal funding from the public education system of Colorado, including the after school and especially the after school programs, the grooming projects, you know, the ones that tried to trans Aaron Lee's child, along with many other parents. Four out of four girls trying to commit suicide after being at one of those after school clubs funded by the federal government. Yeah, let's pull all the funding for that, Ms. McMahon. Colorado, I mean, they've got so much money. All they can think to do is trans everybody. Take your children. Apparently, they've got more money than they know what to do with, and that's how they want to utilize it, to trans children and then take them from their parents. This is mind-blowing what is happening here. It's not going to stop. They're going to get more aggressive. The dots that were connected there, it's really great of the Fitzkys understanding that the child was not going to be able to continue doing this transition or whatever it is they're doing. But it's only for a couple months, because the child's going to turn 18. So it's very curious to see a precedent like this being set in a rural community like Garfield County, the 9th Judicial District, where this judge is overseeing. And I just think it's just absolutely incredible. It's too incredible for my mind to conceive that this is actually happening in Colorado. We've talked about it. We've understood that 1312 could allow for it. And it is here. It is here. Emergency removals of children, emergency guardianship to perfect strangers. The family doesn't know the kid apparently can be groomed by. They're not investigating whether or not to see if this child has been taken care of. They're not investigating to see if this child has been abused in any way by the groomers, by the Stacey Adlers of the world. And how deplorable is that woman funding this movement, slapping her name on that emergency removal, emergency guardianship of someone else's child? How dare you? How dare you, every single one of you, MX Aaron Anderson, don't even know what you are. This is preposterous that we would listen to people who don't even know what their gender is. It's insanity. It's insane. It's absolutely mind-blowingly insane. Things are not well in the state of Colorado. The law for, just so you know, parents, and understand, 12 years old and up, 12 years old and up, your child has full autonomy. Okay, this can happen to you with your 12-year-old. So don't think, oh, she's 17, pretty close to an adult. You're hearing the wrong thing. It's your child. You have rights as a parent, supposedly, not in the state of Colorado, but supposedly. And yet this can happen to you with your child 12 years old and up. You need to decide what you are going to do to protect your children. I say pull them out of the public education system of Colorado. You are not safe. Your child is not safe. It takes one activist, trans cult member to do this to your child and put these ideas into their head. It's so spiritual because of how fast it works itself into their little hearts and their little minds. I think it's very spiritual. It's very dark. It's very demonic. And it's working itself into their hearts and minds so fast that they would literally be willing to lose everything, their family, their siblings, who they love and adore, lose everything at the pursuit to be the opposite gender. This is not reasonable. This is not normal. So friends, please make up your mind to do what it takes to protect your children. And my thought, honestly, at this point for Colorado parents is you need to flee the state. You need to flee the state. They're setting judicial precedents right now that they have the right to remove your child for any accusation. They didn't investigate that. They didn't even give the parent more than 15 minutes to speak. There was no investigation behind this emergency removal. It used to actually be hard to remove it. It used to be so difficult, by the way, I know this for a fact in Colorado, it used to be so difficult to remove children from their homes. You had to be concerned that death was imminent. That's the phrase, death is imminent. And that's why we're removing this child. Not this time. Not when it comes to trans ideology. Not when it comes to a potential new cult member. The courts are siding with the cultists. And that's all we have for you guys here today on America's Mom. Thank you for being with us. Share this everywhere. Jared Polis is going to have quite a lot to say for himself on the other side. And it's not going to go well for him. You know, Jesus said it. If you cause any of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and be thrown into the bottom of the sea. And all of those who are propagating this, along with Stacey Adler, this Aaron Anderson, Jared Polis, Ashley Stahl, P. Flag, all these people who participated in this, that verse is for you. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you guys back here. Very, very soon.